feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Here on Searchlight, we are going through a beautiful story of love and redemption. The story is found in the book of Ruth. This true story pictures for us the love and redemption of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are only four chapters in the book of Ruth. In a prior study, we looked at chapters 1 and 2. Today, we begin a verse-by-verse study of the final two chapters of this book. With our teaching, here now is Pastor John.
Ruth chapter 3. In chapters 1 and 2, we saw a couple of heartbroken, poverty-stricken widow women who were walking down the road going toward Bethlehem, Judah. These two women that I'm referring to, of course, are Naomi, who was a Jewish lady, an Israelite, and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, who was a Moabite. Both of them had lost their husbands. Naomi had been in Moab for 10 years. She was taken there by her husband before, obviously, he passed away, and she went into Moab 10 years earlier on that day when there was famine in the land of Israel. So they left the promised land. They ought not to have done that. They ought to have stayed and prayed. But they did what so often we can do. They panicked and didn't know what to do, so they went to Moab, a pagan country, because there was bread there. Although there was bread there, it was also a place of sin and carnality. And there, in Moab, it took a toll on their family. The husband Elimelech died, leaving Naomi a widow. And the two sons that they had, Chilion and Mahlon, who had taken on Moabite brides, those two sons also died. And so now we have Naomi with her two daughters-in-law. And after 10 years, she says, I'm out of here. I'm going back to Bethlehem, back to where I came from, back to where I belong. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Bethlehem in Judah. Judah means praise. I'm going back to the house of bread, back to the place of praise. I'm going back to where I'm supposed to be. So she makes her way, and Ruth says, I'm going with you, Naomi. I want your God to be my God, your people to be my people. Where you go, I'm going. And so they make their way from Moab to Israel, Bethlehem, Judah specifically. And when they get there, of course, the people in the town couldn't believe the toll that had been taken on Naomi in her journey in Moab. Naomi said, don't call me that anymore. Naomi means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. She's been through tough times. She's been through difficult days. And there's a bitterness of soul. That's always what sin will do to me, to you. Ah, the Bible says to us there's pleasure in sin for a season, but ultimately it ends up in bitterness. Sin, you see, isn't bad because it's forbidden. Sin is what? Forbidden because it's bad. Sin isn't bad because it's forbidden. Sin is forbidden because it's bad. God knows what sin will do to you, what it will do to me. It'll take us from pleasantness, Naomi, into Mara, bitterness, you see. Call me Mara, she said. And now these two gals, Mara, or Naomi, and her daughter-in-law Ruth, impoverished, heartbroken, grief-stricken, all the rest, have to survive. Well, there's a law in the Old Testament that deals with people that are in poverty or destitute, and that is the law of gleaning, found in Leviticus chapter 19. And there, as we've talked about, poor people could go into the fields at harvest times, and they could reap or glean from the corners and the edges of the fields, as well as whatever wasn't taken by the harvesters or the reapers their first time through. Hey, that was to be left for the poor. And so we see now Ruth, this Moabitess lady, being sent into the fields. She was young, Naomi was old, and so she told her daughter-in-law about this provision, this law that was so wonderfully worked into the Israelite economy by God. She goes into the field and she begins to glean, and it just so happened that the field that she finds herself in belongs to a man named who? Boaz. Boaz, wealthy. Boaz, strong. Boaz, a grand guy, generous, a man of integrity. He's just a wonderful fella. He's a picture, a type, an illustration of our Boaz, Jesus Christ. And she, Ruth, is there gleaning away day after day. Boaz takes notice of her. Boaz shows an interest in her. Boaz tells his gleaners to leave handfuls of purpose, leave stuff on the ground for her, on purpose. Just bless her. Let her just go back to Naomi, her mother-in-law. Just totally blessed, abounding in goodness, you see. So she does that. She goes back. Naomi sees the haul that Ruth is bringing back and says to her, "My goodness, where have you been gleaning?" "Well, I was gleaning in this guy's field who was really nice to me. He took care of me, invited me to dine at his table, showed an interest in me, told me to stay by his maidens, those that were harvesting, and just travel right with the main harvesting crew. And I just come back with this bounty." The guy's name was Boaz. "Oh, Boaz," Naomi said. She was amazed because Naomi knew that Boaz, you see, he was in a special role as a kinsman related to Naomi. And thus, he would have an opportunity to be a redeemer, that is, a rescuer, to redeem them. The law in the Old Testament, you see, as we've looked at quite carefully, made a provision too. When a family went into bankruptcy, or when a family had to give up their property, as did Naomi's family, well, the next of kin could come and purchase that property for the family, and the next of kin would then be obligated to take care of that family. This next of kin was called a goel, which means a redeemer. One who redeems or rescues, one who restores. A goel. And that's what this book is really picturing for you and me. Jesus, our redeemer, who rescues us in our impoverished condition out of our bankruptcy. The favor he shows to us. The care he has for us. And we see that unfolding in the story. Well, we're in chapter 3. After this was revealed, oh my, it was Boaz whose field that Ruth was gleaning in. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Oh, she says, man. And as a good Jewish mother, she already is hatching a plan. See, she has some advice to share, and she has a plot that's going to be in play. She cares about her daughter-in-law, Ruth. She loves her deeply. And she says, "Oh, I want it to go good for you," she says. "I want this to work out for you, that it may be well with you." She says, "Is not this Boaz, verse 2, one of our kindred? He's related to us. Whose maidens thou wast with, the gals that you were traveling with to harvest that day in the field of Boaz." Hey, Boaz is a relative of ours. And now, she goes on to say, "He winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." It's the time of harvest, and Boaz would be there at the threshing floor at nighttime. Why? Because there in Bethlehem, the breezes and the winds kick up during this season in the evening hours. And so they would harvest the stuff in the day. They would winnow it at night in the early evening. That is, they would cause the grain that was brought in to be hurled up into the air, and the wind would be blowing, and thus the chaff, the waste stuff, would just blow away, and the good stuff, the barley, would fall to the ground in piles, you see, ready then to be sold, or ready then to be milled or utilized for cooking, whatever it might be. So she knows this. Hey, he's going to be at the threshing floor where they separate the wheat from the chaff, or the barley in this case, from the chaff, the good from the bad. That's where he's going to be. He would be there working away. And she also knows the custom of the day would be that he would be spending the night there too. This wealthy, wonderful guy, Boaz. Why? Well, because when the work was through, when the afternoon, evening winds would die down, well, then the guys that were harvesting would begin to celebrate, and they would have a feast, and they would sing songs, and they would do dances. It was kind of a party that would happen. And then that would take you into the very late evening or early morning. And the guys then would just sleep right there on the threshing floor to protect their harvest and to be ready for the breaking of the next day. Well, Naomi knows all this. Ruth, she's from Moab. She doesn't know these traditions necessarily. She doesn't know the Jewish customs. She didn't know the law, you see, until Naomi gave her this information. And now, Naomi's explaining, this is what's coming down. He's going to be at the threshing floor. So, here's what you're to do. Wash yourself, verse 3, and anoint yourself, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. A new day is dawning, honey, Naomi would say to Ruth that day, and you're to get prepared for something grand. It's all according to plan. Wash yourself, anoint yourself, and change your clothes. See, Ruth is a picture, a type, an illustration of me and of you. Because you see, if Boaz is a picture of our Redeemer, our Goel, Jesus Christ, Ruth is a picture of his bride-to-be, the church. That's you and me, from Moab, pagan, heathen, lost. Moab is my washpot, God had declared. But you see, we've been redeemed. And now the word from Naomi. Naomi, if Boaz represents, you see, Jesus, and Ruth represents the church, as we will see in our next study, Naomi represents the Jewish people specifically, Israel. There are basically three groups, according to the Bible, that exist in the world today. You have Gentiles, the world, you have Jews, God's covenant people, and you have the church. The church is made up of former Gentiles and former Jews, who were pulled away from those two groups into a new man, Paul would say, into a new entity, the church, the bride of Christ. It's you and me. But that's for later on, for our next study. Right now, the story is Naomi understands what needs to be done. Wash yourself. Paul says we are washed by the water, which is the word, talking specifically in Ephesians chapter 5 to wives, that we are washed. So we who are the bride are to be washed in the water of the word. Hey, this is the way I'm preparing for what God has for me. tomorrow, and then on through eternity. No matter what's happened to me today, I know that tomorrow is a new day, and I'm on my way to eternity, ultimately. And the preparation for coming blessings, whether it's tomorrow morning or whether it's in heaven eternally, is that I'm washed in the water of the Word. There's nothing more important than you keeping in the Word day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. You are washed by the water of the Word. The pollutants and defilements of this world are dealt with by a continual bathing in the Scriptures, a washing in the Word. Wash yourself. You've come a long way, but hey, there's something going to happen. Tomorrow's going to be a new day. And Ruth, here's what you're to do. Wash yourself and anoint yourself. Anointing is always symbolic of a type of the empowering of the Spirit. Anoint yourself. What do you mean anoint yourself? Pray that the Holy Spirit might be given to you. That's what we ought to do. We ought to be washing in the Word, praying for the empowering and blessing of the Holy Ghost. Jesus told us to ask the Father for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that ought to be asked for by you and by me continually. Hey, something good is coming your way. There's a whole new day. And if you want to exploit it, if you want to really grab a hold of it, if you want to extract everything from it, wash yourself in the Word. Anoint yourself with the Spirit. That is, pray, oh Lord, fill me. And third thing, change your raiment. She would be wearing her widow's clothes. Put that stuff off. The clothes of mourning, the clothes of grieving. Put that away. Wash yourself in the Word. Pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in a fresh way. And put away the garment of heaviness, you see. Isaiah chapter 61 says, He gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is what I'm to do. I'm to slip into, day by day, the garment of praise. I'm to put away my widow's clothes, my grieving clothes. See, I'm going to put that off. What do I put on? The garment of praise. I begin to praise the Lord, to worship Him. And that's what makes you and me comely. It is good to sing praises to the Lord. It is comely, the psalmist said. See, I can make a choice on any given day to be in the place to be blessed in a big time way. If I wash myself in the water of the Word, pray for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, and put off my bummed out attitude, my grumpy spirit, my depressed manner, and say, I'm going to put away the spirit of heaviness and I'm going to put on the garment of praise. Well, John, that's just a put on if you start praising Him and you don't feel it. Exactly. You're to put on the garment of praise. And what you'll find, it fits and it will change you. You know, if you wear certain kinds of clothes, you eventually become that kind of person. You know what I mean? I can recall when I got my first Letterman sweater, you know. Man, first I thought, oh, I don't know. But you know, as I put that sweater on and walked around the campus, you know, yeah, this is me. This is who I am. Mm-hmm. See? You grow into it. You put it on, and pretty soon you find it fits. See, that's what she was told to do. That's for me and you, too. So get going, man. A good thing's about to happen. Wash yourself, anoint yourself, and put on a new garment. Get rid of that old depressing stuff. And then get thee down to the floor, the threshing floor. But make not thyself known unto the man. I like that. Until he shall have done eating and drinking. Hey, get ready, because you're going to be blessed, Naomi said to Ruth that day. Only you're not going to be known until he's through eating and drinking. Now, when was the church, that is the bride of Christ, me and you, we're Ruth, you see, when were we known as the bride of Christ? When did we come into that union with our Lord Jesus Christ? When he was through eating and drinking. Remember at the Last Supper, take, eat, this is my what? Body. He said, drink, this is my blood. And then he said, and I will not drink of this again until I drink it with you in heaven. So at that Last Supper, he had that meal, he drank that cup, but then he said, I'm not going to drink of this cup again, the fruit of the vine. I'm not going to drink of this wine until I'm with you. And we see this all symbolically revealed here. Go to the floor, but make not yourself known to the man. That's the Son of Man for you and me, Jesus Christ, you see, until he has done with his eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lies down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in. So go there with your new clothes. Go there with your fresh anointing. Go there with your washed face. And go to that place. And mark the place where he lies and goes. And I can't help but think of that scripture in Matthew chapter 28, verse 6, where Mary made her way to the grave. And the angel met her that day and said, come and see the place where he lay. It's empty. He's risen. See, mark the place where he lie. Come and see where he laid previously. And now that same kind of message is being talked of here. You're washed. You're anointed. Your clothes have been changed. You're no longer discouraged and blue, but you're praising God as you ought to. Now mark the place where he lay. Take a look and see the tomb is empty. He's risen. And then it goes on to say, go in, uncover his feet and lay thee down and he will tell thee what you should do. And she said unto her, that is Ruth said to Naomi, all that you say to me, I will do. That's a great verse for any mother-in-law. To hear a daughter-in-law say, or a son-in-law say, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to. What a grand thing. But that's the kind of lady that Ruth was. It's interesting because, you know, in the Bible, you often see this coupling of young and old. You see Elijah and Elisha. You see Moses and Joshua. You see Samuel and Eli. And it seems that the young have passion and they have vision, but the old have wisdom. Ruth is out there. Man, she's in the field, and now she's going to the threshing floor. But she's being directed by Naomi. Naomi, an older lady, a mother-in-law. So if you're younger, hey, extract wisdom from your mother-in-law or your father-in-law or your parents or teachers or coaches or pastors or mentors or whoever it might be. And if you're older, realize there's a great value in the younger. The passion, you see, and the vision.
This pairing of the young and old is a beautiful thing. When we understand how we can benefit from each other, the entire body of Christ is enriched. Well, please join us next time as we continue this beautiful story of redemption. We'll see you then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
In addition to hearing good Bible teachings, it is also helpful to read of God's love, grace, mercy, and truth. For this reason, we have made available the John Corson Application Commentary Set. There are three volumes of these written commentaries, two covering the Old Testament and one covering the New Testament. The commentaries are based on John's teachings, so they contain the same insightful and practical Bible studies you hear on the Searchlight radio program. If you would like to order any or all of these commentaries, you can do so through the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is an independent ministry that is not financially supported by any church or organization. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.